Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And yes, my voice is still hoarse. And yes, I'm still talking to people hither, yither, and yon. Right now in South Dakota, great crowd. Meeting lots of readers, which is always a tickle. And lots of new readers. Terrific crowd. Thank you, South Dakota. Aberdeen. Came out of Montana last week. And also a great crowd up there in Billings. Thank you, the Billings crowd. And a pleasure to, and nothing against all those great folks who bought books in Wisconsin and readers in Wisconsin who stopped by and said hello, but the other half of Wisconsin, the alt-left half, you know, it just didn't break my heart to leave them. Why don't we just say that? I'm sensing an optimism out there in talking to people, and a concern, I might add, on the part of Trump supporters. You know, can he win? Will he win in 2020? I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week. This week, we're going to limit it to just a few subjects. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about Tlaib. Tlaib, baby. You know, how did she get elected to Congress, really? And Ilhan Omar, who appears to have committed at least 18 felonies, and who now wants to go and visit Israel. You know, Islamist babe visits Israel, chapter 1. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, because Israel had a great response to the Congress lady's wish to visit the Holy Land. And I'm going to bring a kind of a scary point relative to gun control. It's going to be very brief, but hopefully it will motivate you. I want to tell you right now, we don't have a lot of articles up on the website. Everybody is traveling. Producers are traveling. I'm on the road for books. So, while we will, when I get back in the saddle, we will gear up with our usual 30 or 40 articles under various headings and subject matter lines on the website. It'll be sparse for the next week or two. What I want to talk about tonight primarily, besides, of course, our story, our historical story, is the United Nations as part of this movement toward globalism, and who exactly runs it and who pulls the strings, and exactly what they're, at least partially, I mean, it would take three or four shows to cover all this, what their agenda, and I use that term specifically and unlightly, what their agenda is for us. And it all ties into the 300 puppeteers and the companies they control and the companies that those companies control. So hold on to your hats for what we're going to go over this morning. I'm going to start by telling you that the NRA is being outspent 66-1 by anti-gun groups right now. 66-1. May I suggest that if you want to keep your right to keep and bear arms, that if you don't want the Second Amendment, should we say, trundled upon and dismantled before your eyes, that you folks get busy out there. You can buy memberships for your entire family. You'll have to excuse me, audience, for that yawn. These are long, long days. This is a late night. I have to get up early. I'm not complaining. It is what it is, and in many ways, it's a lot of fun. But it is a long night. So, the NRA is being outspent 66-1. For every $1 the NRA spends trying to preserve your rights, they're being outspent, including in advertising, of course, supported by the mainstream media, by $65 by anti-gun groups. May I suggest that you, number one, make sure you are a member of NRA. Then number two, you send contributions to the NRA, and there's several other great gun groups. Gottlieb has one, etc. And third, that you get as many people involved in the NRA as possible. You know, they have a program where you can buy memberships for your kids, your spouse, whoever it happens to be. May I suggest you do that? Two birds with one stone. You're getting money into the coffers of the NRA. And number two, you're giving somebody that you like a lot or that you love an entree into that great organization. The next thing I want to talk about is going to be this you know, these women are really unbelievable. So Talib and Omar, rabid Islamists, haters of Israel, haters of America, haters of democracy, these two women decided they wanted to go visit Israel. And Israel wisely said, no, thank you. We will not allow you in the country, and we don't want to have anything to do with you. So, you know, it's nice, it's refreshing to find a country that has some cojones, shall we say. Cojones. Now, let's go into our historical story, shall we? So, this is the year 1762. This is kind of a fun little story. You're going to enjoy it. And it ties in with something that you do and use, you know, fairly often in your current life. So, in 1762, the British foreign minister, guy in his mid-40s, give or take, was known to be a huge gambler. I mean, this guy, that's what he lived for, was gambling. His name was John Montagu, M-O-N-T-A-G-U. And he would gamble in binges. I mean, literally, he'd go 2 weeks straight, almost without sleep, lots of whiskey, etc., and gamble. And then when he lost all his money, he would take like a week off, and then he'd go on another binge gambling. Well, he was also the British foreign minister. And, of course, the fact that he was a gambler and the fact that he was a binge gambler did not escape the notice of the British people. However, that didn't bother Mr. Montagu. He kept right on with his, how do we say it, his rather alarming disregard for all protocols and directions from the King of England. And one of the things that Montagu wanted to do was, he figured if he was lucky and he was sitting at the table gambling, he didn't want to get up because his luck would change. He also figured that if he was losing and he got up, he might miss a hand or he might miss a spin of the wheel or whatever his gambling fetish was that weekend, and he might lose a chance at a comeback. So he began to tell the folks who were administering all these, you know, games and gambling and etc., that they should bring him a slab of bread and some cheese. Let me go back just a little bit. Up to that time period, bread was really for three things. It was the accompaniment to a meal. It was basically a napkin. Bread is what you wiped your hands on. And of course, you know, if what you were wiping on the bread was mostly food, then it also served a double purpose as kind of a delicious chaser to dinner. The bread, by the way, was also used kind of as a push for forks. In other words, to get that last little morsel to scrape it off the plate, you use your bread to push the food onto your fork. Well, Montagu told the powers that be in his gambling establishments that he wanted them to bring him a slab of bread and a big chunk of cheese on the bread. And what he did then was, when he got these pieces of bread, he'd fold them up so that he could stay at the table, win, lose, or draw without missing a beat when he was on a binge. Well, that, folks, actually, let me step back. Montagu was also the fourth Duke or Earl of Sandwich, which is a kind of a province or a county, if you will, in England. So because he was a fourth Earl of Sandwich, and because the word got out like wildfire around London, etc., as to what he was doing to stay awake to gamble, and it was called the Sandwich. How do you like that? So the next time you slap two pieces of bread together with some bologna and cheese and lettuce and mayonnaise and whatever, remember where the name of what you hold in your hand came from. The Earl of Sandwich, because he was a lost drunk. Anyway, I love that story. Let's talk about the United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. Let's step back and think about my shows over the last several weeks, even though brief as to normal. There's 300 men and women who are the puppeteers of the planet. I mean, they basically, how do I say this? They control all the banks. And the banks control, as I've told you over the last several weeks, 90% of the big Fortune 500 and some of the smaller Fortune 1000 companies in the United States, and for that matter, the world. And these banks, therefore, control these corporations. So what I'm about to tell you as far as the United Nations is concerned, and when they'd have to, and when the United Nations is involved in, shall we say, daily aspects of your life, you will find out, you will find out that the United Nations is doing the bidding of the 300 puppeteers. Because the United Nations is really all about a global society that's run more or less by corporations. And of course, corporations are pretty much owned by the banks. And the banks are pretty much owned by the musketeers. Or should I say, the 300 puppeteers. So in the end, it is the 300 people pulling the strings, folks, that create the monstrosity known as the United Nations. And particularly the incredibly, I mean, scary, stupid, unworkable directives of the United Nations. You know, the United Nations is anti-American. It is anti-Christian. We, that is you and I, and the folks who preceded us, have spent trillions of dollars to fund the organization that is proper. Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 of the United Nations, shall we say, push for globalism, are really kind of treaties between all the nations in the United Nations. And I'll have you know they were never signed or ratified by the United States. It takes a vote of the Senate to ratify a treaty. So there is no, like, written deal that the United States has to go in and support X, Y, and Z at the United Nations. It is just something that we have kind of grown into, that has grown around us, that has created, you know, some feeling of academia, if you will. The United Nations, folks, their Agenda 21, which I've talked about ad infinitum, been on many radio and TV shows about, and which is discussed, in fact, in my book, Land for Love and Money, rather in detail. Agenda 21 is really the plan to control everything about you. Where you live, how you sleep, and what you eat. You know, if you can control those three mainstays of life, then you can pretty much control everything and anything and everything. Because you are controlling the people around you, you are controlling the stand around you. It is very important that you get familiar with how the United Nations, the 300 puppeteers, the banks, and the companies, the corporate folks, how they all tie in together, and they do. You know, there are no coincidences out there, none whatsoever. The United Nations Agenda 21 is basically an idea where global plans are implemented on a regional and local basis. That's a really important concept. Basically, what the United Nations is exporting to America is the complete undermining of our electoral system. There's an author, by the way, who wrote a book, Behind the Green Mask, which I recommend to you. Her name is Rosa Quier. That is, I'm sorry if I mispronounced it, Rosa. It's K-O-I-R-E, Curie. So the United Nations Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. By the globalists, by the banks they control, through the companies that the banks control, and through the United Nations. It's an inventory and control plan, folks. An inventory of all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. I mean, that's what it is. and that is what it'll probably remain until I can get up to North Dakota. It is also the control of all food, energy, information, and guess what? All human beings in the world. That's a quote, by the way, just so that you know. Agenda 21, folks, is about moving populations. All you folks who live on your acreages out in the country, you're not going to be allowed to do that. Mm-mm-mm. You know, they can't control you if you're way out there. I mean, what's wrong with you? Haven't you figured this out? It's about moving populations into concentrated city centers and clearing them out of rural areas under what's called smart growth. Yes, absolutely, smart growth. And that's under the guise of sustainability. You'll see that word often through the Agenda 2021 document. They use it basically to explain, to reveal, to discuss, and to carry anything and everything to do with us. I don't know how else to say this. The United Nations is all about controlling us completely. That's one of the reasons they, and by the way, fundamentally transforming America, whom they hate. That's one of the reasons you see the United Nations with this open borders initiative. You know, supposedly we are the big meanies, not letting all those illegal aliens in. The United Nations is down there trying to do their part. The United Nations Agenda 21, which we're going to go back to in just a moment, their Agenda 2030, their small arms treaty, basically disarming everybody on the planet except the United States, who under Trump said, you know, we're not doing that, which is good for them and great for us. It is about taking away your Second Amendment rights. Because, you know, an armed population, once they figure out what's going on, is probably going to be unpleasant for these people. These, shall we say, puppets at the very end of the puppeteer's strings. Much higher up in the strings are others, like Obama, etc., who also have their own personal stake in how this comes out, both emotionally and financially. All of this stuff, smart growth, cramming everybody into cities, being told what to, who to work, where to work, what you're going to do, that is called sustainability. Yes, that is the buzzword. You've probably heard that word in your local government over the last 3 or 4 years, and there's a reason you have. Because basically, what Agenda 21 promotes is a top-down hierarchy. It moves politics and it moves people's choices away from current government structure based on elected positions in federal, state, county, city, to a global, regional, neighborhood structure without elections. In other words, trust me, I can run the planet much better than you can with your vote, so therefore, I will take over and you can step into the shadows. Thank you so much. Agenda 21 actually seeks not only to abolish borders, but seeks to abolish currencies. You know, everybody would use the same currency. It's all one big happy family. And the Agenda 21, should we say the Agenda 21 agenda, is to get people riled up enough and to get folks, shall we say, motivated enough to start recognizing, number one, these buzzwords, sustainability and smart growth. The minute you hear that, think you all left, think anti-American, think anti-Israel, and think about a group of people on the planet who are pulling the strings of all these people who are having their riots or, you know, unfortunately brandishing their semi-automatic weapons. Whatever it happens to be, the United Nations, folks, is involved. And it is much more involved than you think. And it's been by stealth over the last 30 or 40 years while we were asleep at the switch. The federal government, let me give you an example. Because what Agenda 21 really tries to do, it tries to concentrate power in the hands of corporations. Did you ever see the movie Rollerball? I think it was with, I'm so bad on the names of stars. I'll think of it in a moment. I can see him in front of me, but I can't remember the name. But Rollerball was basically it was a game, you know, to the death. And it was sponsored by big corporations. And the rollerballers, these world-class rollerballers, would basically take their orders from the corporate brass, if you will. And, of course, rollerball in that movie was to distract the masses from what was really going on, which was total and complete and dominant control of their personal lives, of everything they thought, ate, you name it. It was a complete erasure of individuality. That's what that movie was really about. And that's exactly what Agenda 21 is. It is a complete erasure of personal stuff. You become part of the collective. Your rights, quote unquote, don't become privileges, not rights. And you don't really have a say in anything. All the strings are pulled by the 300 puppeteers through the banks, sometimes overtly, sometimes covertly, and then through the banks' control of these corporations, who, because they are being rewarded by this totalitarian government, and I know some of you think I'm just whacked talking about this. Let me suggest for you, Downing Thomases, that you go to the United Nations site, UN.org, and you read Agenda 21 for yourself. You will be, your mouth will be on the toes of your boots, and that's if you're standing. Agenda 21 basically influences government to assist corporations who really run the world, which of course gets it very close to the 300 guys who control everything and therefore control the banks, which then therefore control the companies. Right now there's hundreds of millions of federal dollars that are going to cities, in other words, buying their support, inserting moles trying to take over the 300 pages, and a bunch of other stuff, shall we say. The plan that Agenda 21 has is basically to create regional plans that gives the upper crust, the elites, the ability to ration land, to ration housing, to ration food, to ration all your basic necessities. And that is to control you. I mean, this is, to me, it's quite clear. Hopefully to you, it's just as clear, even though it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I gotta get up at 2 hours. And shall we say, I'm probably not being as smooth as I could be on this. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is even going so far in perpetuating this globalist scheme, if you will. It's forcing cities to race to the courthouse to defend even the most basic of local government rights, the authority to manage and seek fair compensation from private users that use or destroy or antiquate public facilities. Tom Cochran, he's the CEO and the executive director of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, said in a statement, the FCC, I'm quoting now, the FCC is forcing cities to race to the courthouse to defend the most basic of local government rights, the authority to manage and seek fair compensation from private users that seek to employ public assets. I'll cipher this down for you. I'm through just a small portion of what the United Nations is doing to further globalist ends for their globalist masters. I mean, I can't even begin to emphasize how interrelated all this stuff is. Totally interrelated. The United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda, folks, basically seeks to redistribute wealth away from the middle class, not the upper class now, the middle class, to intentionally lower the standard of living of the middle class, and number two, even though you'll shudder at this thought, to reduce population. They have 17 sustainable growth goals, including, I'll give you just goal number two as an example, end hunger, you'll love this, end hunger through the control of all food production. Yeah, you know, if you're disarmed, if you are living in a little stacked cubicle in the middle of a city, and you are starving, this would probably work pretty good until it didn't. And this is the way that we are headed right now. The 17 sustainable goals include goal number 2, end hunger through the control of all food production. Unquote. Folks, you know, when Hitler wrote Mein Kampf and everybody laughed at him, basically he implemented it. When Obama wrote Dreams of My Father and pretended to be inside a bin somewhere in Kenya or wherever he went, sustainability is basically contrived, so you understand. Sustainability is really fomented, purposely fomented, through crisis, artificial scarcities, forced conservation, which, by the way, in this whole kind of left-wing plan for global governance, it is the all scarcity. Let me step back. All scarcity under Agenda 20 will be contrived. This or that or the other will be scarce so that they can control you. And that includes your food, and that includes your fuel, and that includes where you live. Sustainability, folks, is fomented through crisis, artificial scarcity, forced conservation, which by anybody else's, you know, without this doublespeak, would be called rationing. You love that. Forced conversation, conservation is really rationing. It gives an excuse to science to combat global warming. And, you know, the Pope happens to be a big globalist. He's also kind of, he's high up on the puppet strings, but not at the very top, like the top 300. The Pope in June 2015 talked about California being tied directly to international influences of Agenda 21. And 2030 for sustainable development. I can go off on tangents here and talk about what the government's been doing in terms of geoengineering programs, smart cities, the whole nine yards. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The United Nations, as you probably already know, is not our friend. But it is much more than that. The United Nations is a bitter enemy of a republic, of democracy, of individuality, and of freedom. That is the United Nations today. And it is controlled by the elite, and it seeks to concentrate power in corporations which the elite also control through their intermediary, the banks. That's the best way I can describe it to you. As part of this, some of the trends that we are seeing, some of the outrageous stuff we hear about, some of the incredible stuff that we hear, this is all coming from the United Nations. Let me give you some examples. You know, smart cities. Now, you've heard the term smart cities. I know you have. This is really an offshoot of Agenda 21 sustainability. In smart cities, the folks that know, you know, the powers that be, they will design growth patterns. They'll redesign existing cities. Gee, didn't AOC say something like that? Amazing how that works. They'll herd people into stackable housing. They'll engage in massive behavioral modification, zoning and land use controls, and a tax on toll roads to make sure that even if you get an itchy accelerator foot, you don't go far because you won't be able to afford it. Agenda 21 is also meant to achieve social equity. What is social equity? You've also heard it defined as social justice. But in the agendas of the United Nations, social equity has a special meaning. That means a seamless transition, I'm reading now, from the individual to the group mindset as part of the artificial intelligence agenda. Do you have any idea of the of the amount of experiments each one of us has been involved in without our knowledge, without our consent. I'm going to have to do a show on it sometime because it'll stagger you. It's one of the reasons I don't do vaccines. I mean, I don't want the flu shot. Every time you get a shot of something from the government, they are trying to imprint on your genetics. I know this sounds cuckoo. I know it sounds like tinfoil hat, but it is the truth. That is what's going on. And one of the things that the UN agenda has been successful in promoting is this idea of one gender. There is no male, there is no female, you know, you can be whatever sex you want. This is all Agenda 21 stuff, folks. And what it really points to is a transhumanist, that is post-human society. In fact, the United Nations says that it would like to see some hybridization of computers and people. I'm not making this up. Some hybridization of computers and people so that by 2030, the entire human race that still survived would be kind of part machine and part human. They have to dehumanize us to make this plan work. I mean, I'm assuming you understand that. A totalitarian transhumanist state, which is being developed worldwide, is being developed under a few select corporations. This particular writer calls it a fascist corporatocracy. I think I said that right. A fascist corporatocracy. Basically, Agenda 21 and Agenda 23rd, folks, Agenda 2030 calls for borderless worlds. Because it's very important for these powers that be, the 300 puppeteers, the banks they control, and the companies that the banks control, to have a world without borders. It allows the free movement of workers, goods, services, and reduces wages because there's more competition in these crammed urban areas for a diminishing amount of jobs. I mean, think about how, you know, somebody had to stay awake a lot of nights to come up with this plan. Not only that, to implement it, to indoctrinate people into it, to brainwash people to be part of it. What's at stake? What's at stake in terms of these UN agendas if they're successfully implemented? And let me tell you, they have inroads in a lot of different places at the most basic local of levels. It is not social equity that they seek. They want equity for corporations to exploit, to manage, to surveil, and control individuals in tightly packed, very dense urban environments. One of the things Agenda 21 wants to get done is a genderless society. And by the way, that happens to be goal number 5 of their 17 sustainable goals, goals for sustainability. Let me read it to you. Gender equality is not only a fundamental human right, but a necessary foundation for a peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable world. Folks, anytime somebody starts throwing flowery letters at you, that shall we say, are meant to deceive, obviously meant to deceive, run for the hills. Run for the hills. And by the way, type in United Nations or type in Agenda 21 in the search bar. Listen to the shows I've done on this previously in quite a bit of detail in terms of the document itself. I know a lot of you out there are going, oh man, he's flipped his wig, he's tinfoil, etc. Go to UN.org, type in Agenda 21. You can read it for yourself, folks. The root of evil, I'm summarizing, is private property. The impediment to progress is individuality. And, of course, the death knell to what they want to accomplish is freedom. That's why these things are under attack. And to dumb down the population, to make the population transhumanist, in other words, somewhere evolved into partial AI and uplifted spirits and blah, 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 they have come up with this anti-gender deal. You know, lost identity. The most important private property that you and I have is our body. Think about it. That is the most important piece of property, and that includes your brain. Unity, which is what Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 seek, complete unity. You are part of the beehive, one of the workers in the hive, working for the queens. In their world, males and females no longer exist. And if males and females no longer exist, there's no procreation of the human species. So there's fewer of us. And remember, these elitists want to see the planet continue to survive. So having fewer humans and having those that remain being transhuman, in other words, some kind of evolved state behind a human being as we know it today, is a decided focus of both Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. Here's the UN message. Gender equality is not only a fundamental human right, but a necessary foundation for a peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable world. In other words, erasing men and women and replacing them with some kind of neuter, I guess, is a fundamental human right because it's the necessary foundation for a peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable world. Oh, there's that sustainable word again. The UN, folks, is implementing new legal frameworks, and this is scary stuff, and they're getting them indoctrinated like poison pills, even in local governments of the United States, and obviously in the academic system. These new legal frameworks grant new rights to people. Think about what's been happening with the gay movement, the trans movement, all those types of things. All this is part of Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. All of this is part of the United Nations plan, which is part of the plans of the 300 puppeteers. I mean, it is all connected. The funny bone is connected to the elbow bone on this stuff. Basically the United Nations and the globalists count on you not seeing the big picture. Not being told, not seeing, being blissfully unaware of what they really have going, and of course not listening to shows like this which are trying to bring it to your attention. Let me give you some examples of UN-inspired craziness within the United States. Okay, all the non-gender stuff going on, all the intersex stuff going on, all the push to have unisex birth certificates, unisex driver's licenses, tax-subsidized surgeries for those who want to change their agenda, their gender. This is all part of the United Nations, which is an organization on the puppeteer string at the highest level of the globalization movement. To give you some examples, Wisconsin, I was just there. Wisconsin is now covering sex reassignment surgeries for trans-identified employees. Oh, that's great. That's a nice use of taxpayer money. I'm glad I don't pay taxes in Wisconsin. Separate bathrooms for men and women? No. In a genderless society, in a transhuman society, folks, you don't need separate bathrooms. Think of all the savings in bathrooms. The push for a third choice on official forms, on birth certificates, on voter registration. You don't choose male, you don't choose female, you can choose the third form, which I guess is ephemeral mist from Jupiter or something. Think about New York allowing gender-neutral X on birth certificates. If your folks are really like over the deep end, if they've like walked off the left-hand cliff, they can actually, on your birth certificate, not show your gender. You're neither male nor female. I mean, you're genderless. You're becoming transhuman, folks. How cool is that? And, of course, it's in school. All this crap is in school curriculums and has been for 20 years. In Canada, in America, everywhere. Because they are indoctrinating our kids into this line and train and fanatical ideology of thought. It's also why you see these kids endorsing socialism, which is really a form of totalitarianism, and what the United Nations is trying to implement on the part of its lord and masters, for the benefit of the banks who own the companies is exactly that. Exactly that. Control. And that you get control when you indoctrinate a population or dilute it or kill off that portions of it that you don't like. And I did not inject that as a note of levity. I've given you examples in the last 6 months. I've given you shows that basically tell you what the globalists have planned for you. It is not pretty. It is not peaceful. It is not, oh, you don't want to go along with this? That's okay. It's okay. You go live out on your ranch or your farm, and we won't bother you. It's not like that at all. Not even close. LGBT training, history, and transgender development. You know, all the stuff that's exploding everywhere. This is an offshoot of United Nations Agenda 21 and 22. Teaching gender identity in schools. And I'm talking about schools like kindergarten, first grade. In other words, it's bad to gender identify. You don't need to, and you shouldn't have to gender identify as a girl or as a boy. And then, of course, we have climate change. Climate change is another it's another gotcha. It's another way to induce fear, to create the transhuman, to eliminate individual thought and replace it with collective thought and actions. And it's also a reason, because, you know, the people they've already brainwashed believe that if they move into their 400-foot cubicle, their stacked cubicle in a big city, and they bicycle to the job that they've been assigned every day, that they're saving the planet, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Keep your eyes on a name called the United Nations World Meteorological Organization. It just so happens that they're involved in, and they've supervised, and they've recommended, and they've kind of overseen, shall we say, all sorts of climate-changing operations, cloud seeding, all those types of things. Once again, this is to create an atmosphere of fear, an atmosphere of autonomy, not autonomy, an atmosphere of it is hopeless to resist. How's that? It's hopeless to resist. There are, and by the way, all the cloud seeding and all that stuff you've heard about, this all comes back to the United Nations and their science service. They must work somewhere in the basement of the building that basically we gave them. It's unbelievable. Weather modification maps are available. You might want to look them up. It includes data, agents applied, etc., on these cloud seedings and other nonsense that's been going on. The mainstream media, by the way, who should be screaming bloody murder about all this, particularly since it is in effect the elimination of the republic, the elimination of democracy, the elimination of individuality, and the elimination of individual freedoms. And I could go into the list of which they are, but I think you get the picture. The mainstream media isn't saying a word, folks. You know why they're not saying a word? Ah, imagine that. Because they are either controlled by companies that the banks, that the 300 puppeteers control, or they have been consumed by companies which the banks, at the end of the puppet strings of the 300 puppeteers, the nucleus of the globalist crowd, if you will. All of this stuff is tied in. All of this stuff is interrelated. And all of this stuff is, unfortunately, real. I'm not making this up. You can go to the United Nations site and you can read this stuff for yourself. And obviously they couch it in glowing terms and soft and warm and fuzzy, and you just feel all sorts of good when you read it and go, wow, man, that's great. I think that'll work. Kumbaya. Well, not my world, not kumbaya. There is a lot more I can tell you about this subject. To be honest with you, I need to get some sleep. I know this is a very informal way to address my million person, 3.3 million person audience. Thank you for putting up with this last week, this week, and probably next week also. But I need to get some rest. And I would love to continue this. And I know it's a big no-no for radio hosts to yawn once in a while and to say they need to get rest and we're supposed to be stoic and etc. But the bottom line is, that's all nonsense. And you know what? This radio host, your radio host, I am tired of nonsense. So there's no sense perpetuating, even on the smallest scale, as in, oh, yes, I think I've talked to you about everything I need to talk to you about this morning. Hell, folks, I haven't even dented what I need to talk to you about this morning. I mean, I could ramble on here for friggin' hours. And I will when this book tour ends, because I have a pile of research that I've done and that I've been sent by great listeners of mine. From Wyoming to Minnesota to Illinois, up in Maine. I mean, I got a raft of information to share with you. But it's not going to be this morning. We have covered a lot of stuff this morning. One of the things we did not do, and this I'm kind of doing everything backwards, shall we say, in this show. One of the things we did not do is talk about what I'm going to be doing next week on the show. All I will tell you is that it's going to be a continuation of this globalist theme, this alarm about globalism, how all this stuff ties in and feeds off one another, and how everything that you see out there, even though it appears disjointed, even though it is obviously distracting, is all tied in. There, every one of these events is interrelated, including, I might add, probably the last two. What was it, week before last, the last two mass shootings. There's no way that all that stuff happened at one time without coordination. And then there was another attempted shooting, I don't know if you know this, in Philadelphia this week. And there is documented reports, there might even be a video, that I don't know, of the shooter on conference calls, talking with somebody, like getting instructions on how to pull off this caper, which fortunately he was mostly unsuccessful at. And if you don't think that that's part of the plan to disarm us, because let me tell you, there's nothing that would stand in the way of the globalist plan more than an armed America. I mean, that's just not a good thing. And if you think that this quote-unquote assault weapons bans, which is really a moron's ban on semi-automatic weapons, that's been passed by the House of Representatives and all those, you know, left of the ozone folks that inhabit the House of Representatives right now, unfortunately, you're wrong. I mean, they can't take all your guns at once, so they're going to strip you of your rights, and they are rights. They're God-given rights, according to the Constitution. They're going to strip you of your rights slowly but surely, kind of in a way where you don't notice, picking on the subjects that most people are going to say, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, universal background checks. Oh, yeah, keep a registry of firearm owners. Oh, yeah, ban those nasty semi-automatic rifles. This is all part of a plan, folks. There's no way they could ban guns tomorrow, so they're going to have to chip away at it incrementally, which is exactly what they've been doing, actually, for the last 40 years. But now they are on steroids. Yes, there's lots to talk about. And we are going to be talking about it over the coming weeks. In the meantime, this is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Think about what I've talked about this morning. Keep your eyes open. If you heard the word sustainable in your local government or your county government, you better, like, jump up and get in their face. And I don't mean yell, scream, and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about you better raise your hand and be heard. Because most of these people don't even know this stuff exists. I guarantee you the county commissioner who's sitting at your county commission meeting, who says, well, we need to have a sustainable road system, or whatever he says, has no clue that he is being played, once again, like a puppet on a string by people who have, shall we say, agendas far different than his, and he is, unfortunately, blissfully unaware. It's your job to make these people aware of what's going on. It is your job, by the way, to support the NRA or some other similar type pro-gun group. It is your responsibility, folks, to contact your elected representatives and tell them what you think on subjects, particularly these huge subjects of the Second Amendment rights, etc. And it is your job to give money to candidates you like and to parties or organizations that share the platform of your beliefs with you. Nobody's going to do this for us. There's nobody out there to fight this fight. We're it. You and me and the other people listen to this show and shows like it, we are the and the weapons that we have and the beliefs that we have in America, her destiny, her constitution, and her basic soul, the soul of the Republic. That is up to us. We are the people on the ramparts now. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, I'm going to add one thing here. The book release. Yes. Thank you, producer. The book release. The book release, folks, is looks like it's going to be the 29th of August. The books, book four, is on the trucks. Very exciting. I'm very excited about it. And everywhere I've been going signing, people have been coming up going, where is book four? And well, book four is about to be in your hands. My strong suggestion for you, you can buy it on the publisher's website. And those of you who are signed up there, you'll be getting emails to that effect, where you can get it, etc., etc., here probably this coming week, which is kind of cool. Others of you who are looking for book four, or many of you, by the way, who have started the series here over the last month and want to get books two and three, etc., you should contact your local Barnes & Noble, and you should put your order in. They know how many books to order, and let me tell you, I'm not sure there's going to be enough books to go around, so the sooner you do this, the better. They will call you when the books are in. You don't call them and bug them. They're busy. I can tell you, my publishers have already heard from Barnes & Noble about how many people were calling their stores looking for my books, and thank you for the flattery. But that doesn't endear me to Barnes & Noble, okay? It really doesn't. No Barnes & Noble store wants to hear from like 100 people, where's book four? Where's book four? Where's book four? They will call you when it comes in, but you got to have your name. You have to purchase the book from Barnes & Noble and have your name on a list. So that's what I would do if I were you folks and you want to go that route. If you're on the mailing list, you'll be getting other examples, possibilities, wherever you want to get the book. And if you want to wait for that, that's great. The bottom line is the book is on the truck, folks. And the trucks are headed to distribution centers for Barnes & Noble and Amazon, the whole nine yards. I want to emphasize that if you want Barnes & Noble to be around, if you want your children to have a bookstore to go to, then I wouldn't worry about the fact that Amazon may be a buck or two cheaper. I think I'd buy from BarnesandNoble.com or BN.com. Or you can buy from your local store and they will call you when it's in, one or the other. That would be my suggestion. A great investment in your kids' future. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.